Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
What an exciting last two words to sing together this morning, that He is worthy. So we would just love to just welcome everyone again here this morning, declaring and sharing that He and He alone is worthy. It's such a joyful morning. I've already been just so moved starting off here. I can't get started without actually recognizing that unexpectedly one of my most favorite people in the entire world is here, just a special man that I got to share just a very short part of his life with many years ago on our the lead runner on our undefeated cross-country state champion team. Tyler Massey is here right over here with his incredible wife, Heather, his son, Silas. And so just such a great joy to see them. They love the Lord and they serve the Lord up in Winston-Salem. So I just had to get that out before I got started today. So we're here and we're on message number 4 in this series, What is Our Aim as a Church? If you're running cross country, if you're going to work every day, if you're leading a family, or if you're going to church, we should always know what our aim is so that we can focus on the target. And as David said many times, if we aim at nothing, we will hit it at every time. Well, today, our text comes from Matthew chapter 4. If you would like to go ahead and turn with me here in the church or at home in your living room, and we're going to step into Matthew 4 for just a moment, in a moment, as we explore this idea of what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean as a church to make disciples of Jesus? And so I want to get your mind and your thoughts turning with this phrase that perhaps you've seen, perhaps you've even participated in the last several months, but it's this phrase that says, here's how it started, here's how it's going. And so a lot of times whenever you see this or you hear this, you see this picture of here's how it started. So maybe I started really weak. And a lot of times it's a weightlifting picture. And this kid is just, he's weak, he's strong. And then later down the road, you see this other picture that's like, oh yeah, here's how it's going. And so sometimes people use these pictures to talk about running or weightlifting. Sometimes it's actually weight loss. And it's here's how I started. And I committed to this. And I've gotten healthier. I've lost weight. Other times it's more like the kid or the little boy, the little girl out in the yard throwing ball with her dad, and then here she is in high school or college playing softball or running or doing something. And it's just this really neat phrase that just encompasses this incredible story. Other times you see people use this phrase to talk about it more from this point of view. It started with brokenness. It started with an unexpected illness or a tragedy or a bad accident or a series of bad choices or addiction. Sometimes it's loss and failure. Sometimes it's a story that started with loneliness or brokenness within the home or the friendships or the family or whatever. And then you see this next picture that's like, but here's how it's going. And what you know whenever you see these pictures is something radical, something amazing took place to go from there to there. A lot of times it's the medical miracle. Sometimes it's just this story of healing. It's this story of forgiveness. It's this story of relationships being mended. It's the story of this of a broken marriage, and now it became this really healthy marriage. But it's a story that just we love to just stop and be like, tell me what happened. Tell me what went on between here and here. And something that's always true of in all of these stories, whatever they're focused on, that is in between the start and how it's going is this statement, it didn't happen overnight. It's this statement that says, well, actually it was a long process. It was a process full of ups and downs, steps forward and then setbacks. It's this story of how we had to learn to overcome, how we had to learn to deal with heartache and pain and real issues and attitudes. It's this story in between. And there's this other truth that always says, in this story between the here and the here is a person. There's always a person. Sometimes it's lots of persons. But there's always in these stories, these people that stuck with me. These people that put up with me. These people that never gave up on me. These people that when I said, I'm going to quit, give up, turn back, I'm done, they said, uh-uh, I'm still right here. With arms wide open, it's a coach, it's a teacher, it's a parent, it's a friend that never left in the middle of all the pain and all the difficulties in that story. Well, today, when we look at the Gospels, when we read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what we find so many times is these glimpses of Jesus being the main person in that story. He's leading his sheep. He's pouring into the men and women that followed him. And we get glimpses of how he loved them through the ups and the downs. And so that whenever Jesus is crucified and then resurrected, we just pause as a church to hear him say, before he goes back to heaven, look, 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 all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and matthe 2:0, make disciples of all the nations. Go therefore and be the person in the story for other people, wherever they start and wherever they finish and wherever they get to this, how's it going? Go and be that in-between person when you plant the church. I'll be with you. I'll be with you to the end of the age. And so as a church, we look at how Jesus invested. We look at the book of Acts and the epistles. And we just simply say, as the body of Christ, the bullseye that we want to hit, the bullseye that we want to strive for, the aim of the church is to make disciples who love and live like Jesus. And so today we go back, we pick up where we left off last week, where it all started. Where it all started, come and see, and Jesus just captivates people. He has a unique way of getting our attention and getting other people's attention to get them to perhaps want to take that first step, or at least to have good reason to. And when we go back to where it all started, you remember Andrew came and found his brother Peter. We found the Messiah! And he brought his brother Peter to Jesus. And we intentionally overlooked what Jesus said to Simon Peter, but here it is. He looked at Simon Peter, and Jesus in the red letter said, you're Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is a stone. And see, and we don't know Peter's response in John 1. We have no, I mean, for all we know, he didn't say anything. Like, really? First thing you're going to do is give me a new name. And what Peter didn't understand is Jesus is essentially saying, look, look, you identify yourself with your earthly father, with your dad. One day in this process, you remember David's first sermon in Matthew 16 in this series? One day in this process, you're going to look at me, Peter, and you're going to say, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter, I will look back at you and I'll say, Peter, Jonah didn't reveal that to you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But Peter, my Father in heaven, Peter, I'm giving you a new name. I don't want you to identify yourself with your earthly father. I want you to find identity in my heavenly Father. And Peter, your new name, it means this little pebble, this little stone. But one day when my heavenly Father reveals this to you and you make this statement, what is coming out of your mouth on that day is going to be a boulder. It's going to be the foundation on which I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Peter, in John 1, don't make a lot of sense, but just trust me. Let this process get started, Peter. And so when we read the Gospels, the only thing that we really know kind of happens next, you know, there's a wedding in Cana that maybe he observed, the miracle, the water being turned into wine, bulks, huge numbers of it, and that whole picture. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us after the baptism, which is kind of like, this is like day two or three after the baptism. Actually, I should be doing that. They all tell us that Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted. Now, somebody, you meet someone, they tell you this, and then they disappear for 40 days. I mean, like, really, think of this. Well, I guess he kind of didn't think that I had what it takes. I guess maybe he gave up on me pretty quick. I don't know what any of these guys would have thought, but all we know is Jesus was gone. Peter and Andrew and James and John, and I don't know what happened to Philip and Nathaniel, but you know, but these guys, they go back to Galilee, they go back doing their thing. And so whenever we step into the story today to continue to look at how it started, we find these guys fishing. So it is here that I would like to invite you to please stand with me in reverence and honor for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the sea after these 40 days, he's walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for those that could be here, for those that could join us online and the technology to make it happen, and those that serve to make it happen. We ask that you would let our minds just pause from all distractions. Bless those at home and those here, and let us see with our eyes and hear with our ears the words that Jesus spoke, that he's still speaking to us today, and help us to flesh out and to be moved to continue to flesh out what that looks like from day to day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A lot of times when we read the Gospels, we see this response, these last 8 words at the bottom. Well, they just quit everything and followed him. And it can almost sound like, really? I mean, just off the cuff, just like that. But what we want to stay reminded of is the Gospels weren't written to tell us every detail that went on in people's decision making. The Gospels were written to help us to land at the end, at the crucifixion and the resurrection, and to be like, wow, he's worthy. Following Jesus is everything. So what we get invited to do as a church and as people is to dive back into these stories and to piece them together and to be like, oh yeah, and to find ourselves in the stories and to hear Jesus speaking and drawing us. So thankfully, Matthew, although he gives us no detail, Luke must have had a moment where he sat down with Peter and was like, really? Just like that, and Peter's like, okay, I'll tell you what happened. So in Luke 5, we find out that Peter and Andrew and James and John were fishing, but in fact, they had been fishing all night. They were actually done fishing, and the guy from like 40 or 50 days ago shows back up. And they're cleaning their nets, we have to pause right here and find ourselves. Have you ever stayed up all night? You ever went to a youth overnighter? I mean, it's like death. I mean, it's sugar and no sleep and like Just talk to Ben. And it's, I mean, you're exhausted, you're worn out, and not only that, imagine over and over and over, you're throwing these nets all night, you're pulling, I mean, your shoulders, your arms, everything is so tired. And on top of doing that all night, there's the mental exhaustion. You caught nothing, and you're a fisherman. And you went into the weight room and you could maybe bench press 40 pounds. I mean, you were not successful. And so mentally and emotionally, this is just draining, and you're cleaning your nets. And Jesus just, you know, he just steps onto the boat. He's like, hey, can you push out a little bit? You see all these people, they need to hear what I have to say. They want to. And so I need to get out a little bit. Okay, all right, well, just interrupt my day, why don't you? You know, and so they do that. If you're Peter, you hear probably an incredible, epic sermon. I mean, it is Jesus. And then something just crazy just happens. Peter, let's go on out a little bit and drop your net for a catch. I just cleaned them. I mean, how could you ask this of me? And just, you're just in the story and you're feeling it. And Peter would possibly be like, look, fish bite at night, not in the day. You're a rabbi. I'm a fisherman. just like, I know better than you on this one. I mean, even if you're God, I mean, really, come on. And so he does it anyway. And then, of course, we know the story. The net just fills. Something happens that only is explainable by God. And now they're calling James and John, come help. And then both boats get full of fish. But Peter's response is so different than everybody else's. Peter's response is falling down on his knees and just pleading with his voice, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. In other words, I'm so unworthy. You should know this about me, you're God. I'm so sinful. The best thing you could do is get away from me and let me go back to fishing, because I am worthless of being in your presence right now. And look, and just Jesus, you just imagine the look on his face and just this whole moment. We don't know what was going on in Peter's life at this time. All we know is everyone was astonished. Everyone was in awe. And the next words that came out of Jesus' mouth, and Luke gives us four words that Matthew didn't. Luke gives us four words that are just so critical. Peter, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Look, can we just pause right here and say, however you came to faith in the gospel, faith in Jesus, maybe it was feelings of worthlessness. Maybe it was out of complete fear of going to hell, which is understandably very scary. But can you just hear Jesus say today, look, if you're going to follow me and catch people, you can't bring that baggage to the party. Let it go. Just like you dropped the nets, Peter, fear doesn't lead to following me. Fear doesn't lead to catching me. In fact, worthlessness, you know, sometimes people are just, they've been saved 25 years and they're just like, I'm just an unworthy, no good for nothing, filthy sinner. I don't deserve to be here. And just living a defeated life, Jesus is saying, you're free of that. It's him that gives us worth. It's him that frees us of the fear. Look, I understand hell's scary. Heaven's your home. You don't have to be scared anymore. Let's go. And so he is setting them free. So what I'd like to do is I want you to think about now those words, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I want to introduce you to something. I've did this with many of you before, but this is one of the ways that often I talk with people in my home. And I just want to break this down to stir our minds, our thoughts, our affections, and our understanding of what Jesus actually meant by what he said when all of this started. So let's take those two words, follow me. And let's step back and say, Jesus is saying, look, I want you to be a learner. I want you to pursue learning. I want you to follow me in such a way that this is what you're going after every day whenever you wake up. So here's a diagram. Wherever someone starts on this journey, that line represents how you think. It represents how they think. That way of thinking encompasses your background, your experiences, how you were raised, what you were taught and what you were not taught. It represents your church experience, both good and bad. It represents painful experiences that you had. Well, every time I lifted weights, everybody made fun of me. I'm never lifting weights again. Well, the first three times I lifted weights, I got injured. I'm never lifting weights again. Well, I lifted for like 3 months, and then someone dropped the bar on me, and it crushed my sternum, and I'm never lifting. Well, we have to be understandable of that. And so whenever someone starts, they start, you start, and I start with our own way of thinking that has been shaped by our past experiences in life. And Jesus is saying, I want you to go after me because I am committed to you throughout this process. This isn't a 12-step program. This isn't for the perfect. It's for the willing. This isn't do X, Y, and Z and do steps A, B, and C, and then in 3 weeks or 3 months, this will happen. Commit to the process, even if you don't understand. And actually, it's these two words, follow me, are like words of grace. You're invited, but I'm not going to force you. Peter, I'm not coming out on the boat and grabbing you by the back of the neck like your daddy used to and dragging you down the, you know. It's you're invited, but you don't have to. You're free to come, you're free to go. And so on this journey, the main thing that we keep coming in contact with is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. The Word is a person. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the truth is a person. And so along this journey, the only thing that can continue to shape how we think and how we help others think is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. And so along this journey, we come in contact with things in the Word that are hard to wrap our minds around. So as a church, and as a family, we want to create an environment where you can ask questions, where people can understand, where people can make discoveries, where people can be like, I don't really get it. You don't get it. Stick with it. I mean, try asking someone to start at 55 miles a week and get up to what, 73 miles a week? Trust me, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Your body will change. It will transform. And then it's like, oh, it happened. Man, a 16:21 5K, I mean, and it just, and you're just inviting people to be a part of the process. So here's the problem. The Word sometimes is startling to us, isn't it? Sometimes the Word reveals things in us that really just tells us your way of thinking is actually fill in the blank. It's wrong. It's off. I'm sorry to tell you, but Uncle Tom and Aunt Susie were just, they taught you the wrong thing. Now, no offense if you have Uncle Tom or Aunt Susie. That's the two names that came to my mind, okay? But look, Jesus is asking Peter, be willing to follow me and change how you think, even when it threatens what you were taught or how you were raised. Be willing to follow me whenever it brings back up that bad experience that you had, and it forces you to deal with it. You're not alone. I'm going to help you to work through this. And so just imagine you're with Jesus, you're following, and then sometimes it just gets awkward. Sometimes it gets really challenging. Imagine Jesus on the day you didn't know this was happening. You wake up and all of a sudden, the religious leaders have threw in front of Jesus a woman caught in the act of adultery. He has every right to call her all the names that she's earned for herself, but he doesn't. He has every right to look at her and tell her all the commandments that she has broken, but he doesn't. And you're looking and you're listening and you're recognizing the only person that can throw a stone is the sinless person that is standing there. And instead of throwing a stone, he throws an arm around her. He's like, "Where are those that accuse you?" "There's none, Lord." "Good, good. Go and sin no more." Okay, how am I going to do that? And if you're there as a disciple, he's not teaching you directly, but he's teaching you substantially. He along the journey, he gets us in these uncomfortable places to open up our minds to just how unmeasurable love is. And then as she gets up and as he gets up, he looks at all the disciples. He looks at whoever's still standing there and he looks at her. And he says this, "Look, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." He starts with people, sometimes in the fishing boat, sometimes right in the act of their sin. As a church, we want to proclaim to the world, it's not about it. We don't care where you start. We just want to help you get started. And he calls her out of darkness into the light. And if you're Peter, if you're the disciples, that day your expansion of the love of God is like, "Whoa, I didn't know she could come to church. I didn't know she could come to church and we could love her and not just berate her for her sins." But Jesus said, "That's why I told you to follow me. I want to blow your mind away with this." So maybe in the most simple of terms, we have taken this idea and just summed it up like this. A disciple or a follower or a learner of Jesus, one who pursues learning from Jesus, is simply a believer who pursues learning to love and to live like Jesus. I don't understand the process, but I'm willing to follow and to trust and let the process yield and do its thing. So now let's go back to the middle section of what Jesus said when this all got started. "I will make you." We could call this the process of molding. Jesus is saying, if you will be clay in my hands, I will be the potter. I will do the molding. Give me the freedom to mold. Give me the freedom to chip away. Give me a freedom to in the process, to talk to you about how you think and why you think the way that you think. And let's share life together. Let's talk about this. So along the journey, it just makes sense. Whether you're losing weight or getting stronger or going through marriage restoration, there are setbacks. There are moments where the word just says, the way you responded to your wife the other day just really didn't line up with Ephesians 5. And you're like, and I'm like, ah. The way that you spoke to your husband disrespectfully when he come home, the way you took the stressful day at work and came home and dumped it out on your kids, the way you took the difficult day at school and came home and just, to your parents, there's setbacks. There are setbacks, and it's hard to deal with sometimes. But here's the beauty of what the Word and what Jesus always invited us to do. With every setback, he says, look, repentance simply means change your mind about your way of thinking and change your mind to God's way of thinking. This setback may be 10 seconds. It may be, oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, I can't believe I just spoke in that tone. I can't believe I just got on social media and said that. I can't believe I looked. I can't believe I. But this process can take 10 months if someone wants it to. He's patient, but he wants it dealt with immediately. So just can you hear Peter? It's Thursday night and Jesus is starting to wash their feet and Peter says, that makes me uncomfortable. And you're not washing my feet. And Jesus says, look, what I'm about to do, you don't understand, but if you don't let me do it, you have no part with me. Well, if you put it that way, wash my whole head, wash my whole body. It was simple. He dealt with it in like, what, 10 seconds. He just said, okay, since you put it that way, I'm going to change my mind. Give me a bath. Whatever it means in order for me to continue to be made like you, I yield. I yield to the process. I will change my mind. And so maybe it's God saying, look, I'm asking you to love your wife as I love the church.
Look, your children are difficult, I know, but I'm asking you to shepherd them the way I shepherded you when you were difficult. And so he's inviting us to change our mind. Look, I know all the other guys and girls in the high school are dating and they look happy. They're not. Because I'm not in the middle of it. Change your mind about what it means to be happy in a relationship, even if it means waiting on a guy to just blow you out of the water one day because he loves me more than everything else. Just whatever it would be, he invites us to keep it practical, to keep it personal, but he remains intentional because he wants it to be relational all along the way. So the idea here is actually, let's do this. When you think about, here's me starting working out with noodle arms or whatever, and here's her or here's you strong and fast. In between, look at all the hard times that go on. And in these little silhouettes, there's torn muscles. There's days where he or she maxed out and he or she was weaker than he was a month ago. There's setbacks, there's injuries, there's soreness for days. Man, if you get old, there's a lot of soreness. But whatever it is, there's a coach that remains committed. There's coaches, there's friends, there's teammates. In fact, when you and me stay committed to this, what happens is along the way, other people get inspired. Other people are like, man, I see the results in your time or in your physique, or I see that whatever you're eating and drinking and doing, you're losing weight, you look great. Can you help me along with that? And so what Jesus shows us is, as a church, when we talk about disciple making, he simply shows us a disciple maker is one who's committed to the process. I'm committed to the in-between process of here and here because I see here, but I'm focused on here, and I believe that this can happen. But everything that goes on here, I'm committed to it. I ain't leaving. You can leave. I'm not leaving. So I'm committed to the process of modeling and training you to love and to live like Jesus. This is Parenting 101. This is all Bible studies, life groups, Sunday school, VBS. This is everything that we want to just go after and believe as a church. In fact, if we don't believe that we're a part of this process, then we'll just show up to work in the tech booth. We'll just show up to sing some songs because you guys have beautiful voices. And if I led it, everybody would leave. And so you need to lead it. If we just show up to watch nursery and teach Sunday school, then it's just like that's what I'm supposed to do. But if we believe, these children and these people are here, but one day they will testify of what church life was like growing up, and we get to all be a part of the beautiful, magnificent process in their lives of what God, of the greater thing that God is doing. That is meant to get us fired up. That is meant to help you to wake up on Sunday morning or Monday morning and be like, today I get the opportunity to be a part of what God is doing, the greater of what God is doing in someone's life. It's life changing. And so we go to that last statement that Jesus said. Fishers of men. Peter, it starts with you, but it ends with others, and I'm everything in between. Peter, it begins with you. And it involves me leading, molding, guiding, and shining light, convicting and instructing. But it ends with you being more, becoming more like me. This is the power of becoming. And this is you and me. Sometimes our flesh tempts us to say, I just can't think that way. I have too much baggage. I have too much. And it's like, no. Remember, the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells believers is also the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Believe in the power of becoming, because he's the one that does the molding. And so he's changing our way of thinking. I used to think about church or Jesus this way, but now I'm thinking about him this way. And one of the ultimate indicators that we're becoming is when you find yourself just constantly thinking of others. Sometimes it's the call, it's the text, it's the, hey, it's just, I'm willing to give 5 or 10 more minutes in the grocery store to just show some kind of comfort or love. I'm willing to drive to where you are to meet you, to help you. That is, Jesus said, that's the indicator. I want you, Peter, who does pretty good at fishing, to become really great at catching people. And so along the journey, he says, we have to continue to believe in this. So if we move this slide over, here's what starts happening. Here's what, in fact, is happening. Some of you are here today simply because someone stepped out of their comfort zone to have the conversation with you. Some of you are here today and you remember your salvation experience, and it was just because someone came to where you were and talked with you about the gospel. Some of you are here today simply because someone called you on the phone. And they didn't say, are you ready to follow Jesus? They just said, look, I heard about what was going on in your life. I just wanted to check in on you. I just want to see if there's anything you need, if how you're doing, if you're okay. And it was something about it was just all captivating. It just moved you that someone would care enough to say or to do something. And Jesus said, that's what it looks like to fish. When you go to the creek, you use flies. You do not use worms, right? Amen. When you go to the lake, you use plugs and minnows. I don't know what you use in the lake. I don't know how to lake fish. But when you go to the ocean, you use something else. I don't know that either. But all three are forms of fishing. All three is simply the fisherman trying to use what the fish in the ocean can relate to hook them and bring them in. Jesus says, look, no matter where you go, the bait is always love. Love with the woman in adultery looks very different than how he confronted the religious leaders and talked with Nicodemus that night. But it's all the hook, line, and sinker is always love. But as we start to close, there's a tragedy that's in the midst of this that I want us to see. There's a problem of not becoming. There's a problem when someone says, that looks great, it sounds great, I'm saved, I'm not going to hell, I'm going to live my life, I'm going to do what I want. There's a problem whenever someone just says, look, I'll kind of come to church, but you know, don't ask me to ever be involved in any dimension at all. Here's why. Judas followed Jesus. Judas was always there. Judas was along for the ride. He saw the miracles. He saw the love. He saw the love being poured out. But Judas was never transformed. Judas, you might could say this idea of the Bibles being stacked up is the idea of I'm gaining lots of more knowledge. I know lots of information. I can now win way more arguments with religious leaders than I ever could before. But how I think as far as how I live and how I lead others, it's not being changed. And so I'm mindful that Judas was there along the whole journey, but he never become. And I'm mindful today that, man, it would be so simple to gain the knowledge, but never let it personally be transforming to my life. And so as a church, we want to cultivate an environment where we keep dealing with this idea and tearing it down, because Jesus tore it down, because Jesus saw Peter one day preaching and teaching and baptizing, and in fact, sitting in the homes with more than 3,000 people saying, here's what we got to do. We got to start with all these people right where they are in small groups, and we got to commit to the process just like Jesus did with us. And so I want to close by just simply saying, wherever you see yourself at in this journey, maybe you're already in the process, maybe you're still like, I'm just getting started. Hear these words, follow me, follow me. Don't be worried, don't be afraid, and don't feel worthless. I'm committed to you. I'm committed to molding, to making you into a person who thinks and loves and lives more like me. And one day, it's as hard as it is to believe, as much hurt and pain as in your story, Jesus says, I know what can become. As a church, this is what we believe and will continue to believe and proclaim and to celebrate. Let's pray. Father, it is here that we look, and I pray, Lord, with eyes of awe and wonder at the words spoken, at the life lived, and at the love shown by your son, Jesus. Let us be a people that allows the transformation to overflow into our work life, our school life, our friendships, our marriage, and our home, such that others are being drawn to you because of how you're transforming us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.